Hello, everybody. I'm Danny Finkelman, and this is The Danny Finkelman Show. For the next hour or so, more of that wonderful music from the 50s, 60s, and early 70s, especially for you. And as I check the hand-printed playlist here, I see we've got Billy Ward and the Dominoes, the Flamingos, Bobby Gentry, the Shirelles, Major Lance, but to kick things off, here's number two from October of 1969, Sam Cooke's nephew, R.B. Greaves, and Take a Letter, Maria.
Last night as I got home about a half past ten, there was the woman I thought I knew in the arms of another man. Kept my cool, I ain't no fool. Let me tell you what happened then. I packed some clothes and I walked out, and I ain't going back again. So take a letter, Maria, address it to my wife. Say I won't be coming home, gotta start a new life. Well, take a letter, Maria, address it to my wife. Send a copy to my lawyer, gotta start a new life. You've been many things, but most of all a good secretary to me. And it's times like this I feel you've always been close to me. Once I roamed to work nights to try to build a good life. All work and no play has just cost me a while. So take a letter, Maria, no, address it to my wife. Say I won't be coming home, gotta start a new life. Well, take a letter, Maria, address it to my wife. Send a copy to my lawyer, gotta have a new life. Well, a man loves a woman, it's hard to understand. That she would find more pleasure in the arms of another man. I never really noticed how sweet you are to me. It just so happens I'm free tonight. Would you like to have dinner with me? Well, take a letter, Maria, address it to my wife. Say I will be coming home, gotta start a new life. Address it to my wife. Send a copy to my lawyer. Gotta have a new life. We'll take a letter, Maria.
R.B. Greaves and Take a Letter, Maria. I noticed a fashion trend that began last winter here in Toronto, and it's continued into this coming winter. I've already noticed a few times, and the days are getting colder. There's been some kind of brutally cold days, and yes, men wearing shorts in winter. Have you seen this? Downtown Toronto, it's all over, and they're not runners or anything, but it wouldn't make any sense if you're a runner because you'd freeze, but the runners do it too. It's a fashion statement. It's the machismo fashion statement. Boy, am I tough, and they're freezing out there. I'm dying if I'm lying, folks. The first one that I saw, this guy was wearing a toque and a parka, and shorts, and bare legs. A toque, a parka, and shorts. I can only say one thing. Would I want this guy's opinion on anything? Would I value this man's opinion on anything? Would I trust his judgment on anything? Absolutely, 100%, I can guarantee you now, not. Here's number four from April of 61. Here are the Shirelles and Mama Said.
Mama said there'll be days like this, there'll be days like this, Mama said.
The Shirelles and Mama Said from 1961. I'll tell you, folks, in the basement, in our basement, we almost had a big scare about 3 months ago. The big scare was our washing machine was leaking. And that wasn't the scare. The scare was that we'd have to replace our 27-year-old Maytag washer and dryer, or at least the washer. But luckily, it was just a piece of hose, and he was able to repair it and then come back later and replace it. 27 years, and the only reason these things last 27 years is because they've got knobs and dials. They're mechanical. There are no high-tech panels. There's no LED computerized readouts. There's nothing that can go wrong because those things always go wrong. They always go wrong. Why they put them in and install them, everybody is looking for. I'll tell you, I believe that our washer and dryer that we bought 27 years ago would command a bigger dollar on the used appliance market today than a new used device. Everybody's looking for knobs and dials. Everybody is looking for knobs and dials. I won't get into it, but we've had an oven with the LED panel. We've had fridges with LED. It's pointless. It's unnecessary. The other things worked fantastically. And my wife and I don't say, oh, we're missing out on something because we don't have the computerized panel on the washing machine. Nothing is lost. We're perfectly happy. They go on and they go off. The only thing that you can't do is you can't start it from your car. That's about it. You can't start it from your car, and you might not know that it's leaking from your car or if you're in Florida. That's about it. All right. Here's Major Lance in number 8 from July of 63, Monkey Time.
There's a place right across town whenever you're ready, where people
do the monkey, yeah. hard to get parted. And then the music begins to play. Automatically you're on your way. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Well, you get yours, cause I got mine for the monkey time.
Monkey time.
The dude the monkey, yeah.
Monkey time.
Give me a big strong line.
Monkey time.
You're looking real fine.
Major Lance and Monkey Time from 1963. I'm dying if I'm lying about this one, folks. Last winter or 2 winters ago, I saw, and I remember it was on Christmas Day, I was walking the dog in the morning, and there was maybe 3/4 of an inch of fresh snow. And I was walking in the neighborhood and just walking on the sidewalk. And this young father came along with his 2 little kids on the old wooden toboggan that has, you just pull along, you know, the old style wooden toboggan. And it's fun. And the kid, he had a kid, I would say the littlest kid might have been 1.5 or 2. And then the next one, the older one was maybe 3, 3.5. So think about it. He's walking along slowly with a wooden toboggan, no rails, nothing on it, just flat. And both of his kids have helmets on. You can't be too safe in this culture. You cannot be too safe. What is going to happen? You know, me and bikes and helmets in neighborhoods, false sense of security anyway. But now if you're going out on the main street, I can understand it. But if you're in your neighborhood, kind of almost impossible. But the helmets on toboggans, on a toboggan going at a 1.5 miles an hour with helmets is takes the cake. It'll be hard for me in the rest of my lifetime to find something more absurd than that. Here's number one from August of 1967, Ode to Billy Joe.
Was a 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day. I was out chopping cotton and my brother was baling hay. And at dinner time we stopped and walked back to the house to eat. And Mama hollered at the back door, y'all remember to wipe your feet. And then she said, I got some news this morning from Choctaw Ridge. Today Billy Joe McAllister jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge. Papa said to Mama as he passed around the black-eyed peas, well, Billy Joe never had a lick of sense. Pass the biscuits, please. There's 5 more acres in the lower 40 I got to plow. And Mama said it was a shame about Billy Joe anyhow. Seems like nothing ever comes to no good up on Choctaw Ridge. And now Billy Joe McAllister's jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge. Brother said he recollected when he and Tom and Billy Joe put a frog down my back at the Carroll County Picture Show. Wasn't I talking to him after church last Sunday night? I'll have a another piece of apple pie. You know it don't seem right. I saw him at the sawmill yesterday on Choctaw Ridge. And now you tell me Billy Joe's jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge. Mama said to me, child, what's happened to your appetite? Well, I've been cooking all morning and you haven't touched a single bite. That nice young preacher, Brother Taylor, dropped by today. Said he'd be pleased to have dinner on Sunday. Oh, by the way, he said he saw a girl that looked a lot like you up on Choctaw Ridge. And she and Billy Joe was throwing something off the Tallahatchie Bridge. A year has come and gone since we heard the news about Billy Joe. Brother married Becky Thompson, they bought a store in Tupelo. There was a virus going round, Papa caught it and he died last spring. And now Mama doesn't seem to want to do much of anything. And me, I spend a lot of time picking flowers up on Choctaw Ridge and drop them into the muddy water off the Tallahatchie Bridge.
Bobby Gentry, an ode to Billy Joe. So I was talking to a pal, the chairman, we call him, and I was being critical of this entrepreneur who was a very successful entrepreneur, but he had some, his behavior wasn't the greatest in certain situations. And the chairman said to me, well, that's what entrepreneurs can be like. You know, they're people who take on the enormous responsibility to start a business from scratch or to build up businesses, and they're characters. They're different than the rest of us. And I was thinking, you know, he's absolutely right. I am not an entrepreneur. I don't think anybody in my family are terribly entrepreneurial. Entrepreneurs are a special breed, you know, and they kind of fall in. They're these folks who finance ventures, who get them up and going. They're the inventors, all those people. They're different. They're different. They're special. And they're absolutely 100% necessary, because without entrepreneurs, no new businesses would start and nothing would ever move. It was the entrepreneurial spirit that is behind all progress. And I have to forgive the guy. I mean, that's the nature of the beast. That's the nature of the beast. And that makes them what they are. They're driven for whatever reason and ambitious, and most of us aren't that driven and ambitious the way an entrepreneur is. So we got to give them credit, and I just hold back on my criticism. All right, now here is Mitch Ryder, the Detroit Wheels, number 4 from October of 1966. The Devil with the Blue Dress / Good Golly, Miss Molly.
Devil with a blue dress on.
Mitch Ryder, the Detroit Wheels, and Devil with the Blue Dress / Good Golly, Miss Molly. You know, I've come to believe that governments and large public companies have something important in common. And what they have in common is they think about the short term. If you're an elected member of a provincial government or a city government or a federal government, you just want to please the people then. So whatever has to be spent or whatever pensions had to be given to keep everybody quiet, that's what you'll give at that time because you're not going to be around in the government in 20 years. And you'll let the future elected officials have to deal with it. And that's what happened in the States. It's, I'm sure, to a certain degree, those things happen local municipal governments in Canada and provincial governments. They spend the money, they do the stuff, they make the deals, and then they, 15 years later, it comes home and it haunts them. Well, it doesn't haunt them. It haunts the people who are now in charge. Same thing in large public companies. That's what happened to General Motors. They made these fabulous deals with the unions when they were flush, when the American cars were selling like hotcakes. And then when the foreign competition came and they were struggling, they still had the same deals. So, that was top management and board of directors back in those days did that. And then the chickens came home to roost 20 years later. So I actually said this at a little dinner party, and there was an economist there, and he says, you're right. And that's why family businesses are best. Family businesses think about their families and think about the future and don't do anything silly while they're running the business because they know their children and their children's children and aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews are all going to, you know, care about this. And we have to be concerned with the future. So that's why, you know, the family businesses, this is what he said. He just said, yes, family businesses. And I agreed with him. Anyway, that's as political as we'll get here on the internet. Here's from one of the Doug Riley sessions at the Montreal Bistro. Here, Joel Feeney and Sharon Lee Williams. And this tune was written by Billy Vera. Here's Storybook Children.
You've got your world, I've got mine, and it's a shame. Two grown-up worlds that will never be the same. Why can't we be like storybook children, running through the rain, hand in hand across the meadow? The meadow. the matter?
Joel Feeney, Sharon Lee Williams, and Storybook Children. You know, I mentioned in my last little rant there that there was an economist at a small dinner party. And it was at our house, and there were six people. And I'm going to give you a tip. This is an important tip. First of all, the at-home dinner party is way better than a restaurant. It's way, way better. It's quiet. It can be small, and this is the next thing. Dinner parties should be a minimum of four people, a maximum of six people. That's it. Anytime, because I've experienced larger dinner parties, when you're at a table with 10 or 12 people, you end up just talking to the people beside you. It's not an open conversation. And it's all phony on Downton Abbey. When they show you that the whole family gets together and there are 20 people at the table and just one person is speaking at any one time, it doesn't happen that way in real life. That happens when you've got scripts. That's happened when you're putting a television show together. One person talks and the other 19 listen. In reality, if you have 10 people, you've got five different conversations going. Or at least three or four different conversations, and that gets noisy, so you have trouble hearing if you're not talking to the person right next to you. So the key thing is, they're underrated. It's quiet. The only problem with it, it's work for the hosts. It's work. But if they always pay off. They always pay off. I'm a big promoter of the home dinner party to replace the restaurant outing, and the size, a minimum of four and a maximum of six. Because when we have eight at our place, it gets too many conversations going. Four to six is absolutely perfect. Dan's rule. Okay, here's Benny King and number 10 from December of 1960. There is a rose in Spanish Harlem.
There is a rose in Spanish Harlem, a red rose up in Spanish Harlem. Soft and sweet and rainy. There is a rose in Spanish Harlem, a red rose up in Spanish Harlem, with eyes as black as coal that looks down in my soul. Starts a fire there, and then I lose control. I have to beg your pardon. I'm going to pick that rose and watch her as she grows in my garden. Thank you. that rose and watch her as she grows. In my garden
is a rose in Spanish high.
La, la, la.
Benny King and There Is a Rose in Spanish Harlem. Now, here are the Beatles, from early Beatles. Best Beatles is early Beatles. Number one from April of 65, The Beatles and Ticket to Ride. The Beatles and Ticket to Ride. You know what the Beatles could do? You know what Paul McCartney specifically could do? He could write great melodies. He just had tremendous melodic talent. So instead of, the provincial government wants everybody to drive defensively, but I say that should be replaced by driving alertly, like the Europeans do. Have I mentioned this before, the Europeans? Well, this is with reference to a left turn at an intersection on a signal where there's a traffic signal, a left turn. The number of drivers who are making a left turn who don't slowly move out into the intersection so two cars can make the turn on an amber light when you get the amber light, if there's a stream of traffic coming the other way. Unbelievable. unbelievable. They just don't care. They want to pay attention. They want to drive defensively. So they won't even go out into the crosswalk area. There's room for at least three cars, really, to be legally in that intersection to make the move on the amber light to the left. And they sit back there like that. It would make traffic move so much faster in the city if they drove alertly and drove like they wanted to get somewhere. There are just too many people, folks, even in this big sprawling city that's immovable half the time, who when they see the green light, they sit there for a few seconds and think about it. Okay, I think I can go now. That's it. Nothing drives me crazier. And you know what? I get on the horn a little bit. Doot. Hey, and then I just, with my hand, wave. I'm one of those. Just go out into the intersection, please, so the two of us can get through all right, please. Here's Jerry Butler, number 4 from March of 1969, Only the Strong Survive.
I remember my first love affair. Somehow or another, the whole darn thing went wrong. But my mama had some great advice, so I thought I'd put it in the words of this song. I can still hear her saying, Boy, oh, I see you sitting out there all alone, crying your eyes out, 'cause the woman that you love is gone. Oh, there's gonna be a whole lot of trouble in your life. So listen to me, get up off your knees, 'cause only the strong survive. That's what she said, only the strong survive. Only the strong survive. Yeah, you gotta be strong. You better hold on. Don't go around with your head hung down. Well, I wouldn't let the little girl know. Let her know that she made me feel like a clown. There are a whole lot of girls looking for a good man like you. Oh, but you'll never meet him if you give up now and say your life is true. Then she said, only the strong survive. Only the strong survive. A man, you gotta take a stand, yeah. So I'm telling you right now, only the strong survive. Only the strong survive. Hey, you gotta be strong. You better hold.
Jerry Butler and Only the Strong Survive. You know, folks, I've been thinking over the last few years about what the most important factors in one's life is. It, you know, hard work, perseverance, talent, drive. And I think without question, the most important factor is luck. It's so underrated. Luck is so important. I can look back. I have always claimed that I've led a charmed life. And I can look back. First of all of us can, or most of us, lucky to be born and raised in Canada, not in a poor, starving nation. Lucky to have, in my case, a decent middle-class family to be brought up in. And lucky to get work at the CBC. It was just over a dinner party. I was a floundering guy who had just graduated from law school and wasn't interested in practicing law. And I met Heather Robertson, who was a producer at the CBC, and that's how I got my start at the CBC. And in marriage, you got to be lucky too. I've been married for it'll be 40 years in May, and to be happily married. Could I have made mistakes? I could have made mistakes easily. So I got lucky. And the house that I eventually moved into, I always say to my children, why is it important that I move to 95 Wispel Vista and not 98 Wispel Vista? And they know the reason, and it had a very important impact because I talked over the fence to a neighbor for a long period of time, which set certain wheels in motion, and it was just pure, unadulterated luck in my case. And I think most people underestimate luck. You know who didn't? Rudyard Kipling did not. And there's a poem by him that I was having a lunch in a restaurant with someone who was introduced to me by a friend. And so the three of us were having lunch, and he started to quote Rudyard Kipling, and he actually sent it on to me, and I misplaced it. But it was from a poem about how luck has so much impact on one's life. And if we're lucky enough, and I say born in Canada, raised in Canada, middle-class family in Canada, top 1% in the world. And on top of that, we have Billy Ward and the Dominoes right now. And that's lucky, too. Here they are with 60 Minute Man.
So blowing my top. If your man ain't treating you right, come up and see your dad. I'll rock 'em, roll 'em all night long. I'm a 60-minute man.
60-minute
man.
Call him
the loving man. I'll rock, roll all night long. I'm a
60-minute.
60 minute
man,
they call me
loving Dan.
I rock 'em, roll 'em all night long. I'm a
60 minute man.
There'll be 15 minutes of kissing,
then you holler, please don't stop.
There'll be 50 minutes of teasing, and 50 minutes of squeezing, and 50 minutes of blowing my top. Treating you right, come up and see old Dan. I rock 'em, roll 'em all night long. I'm a 60-minute man, oh yeah.
60-minute man.
Billy Ward, the Dominoes, and 60-minute man. One more thing about alert driving and rules of the road. Nothing drives me crazier when you see ahead that there's construction. They say it's going to be one lane, so you line up in that lane, and there are 20 cars in that lane, and then, of course, you see in the other lane a couple of drivers going to the front of the line. They should get life plus 20 years for that. They know better. And, you know, I shouldn't say this because But they're always an Audi or a Mercedes. They're always an Audi or a Mercedes that feel that they don't have to obey proper behavior and get in line like the rest of us. They can go to the front because they're more important. I shouldn't say that. There are lots of people who drive Audis and Mercedes who are in line with us. But it's rarely a 1999 Ford or a Toyota Corolla that makes that move. All right, now here are the Mills Brothers and Nevertheless.
Maybe I'm right and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I'm weak and maybe I'm strong, but nevertheless I'm in love with you. Maybe I'm in for crying the blues, but nevertheless I'm in love with you. Somehow I know at a glance the terrible chances I'm taking. Fine at the start, then left with a heart that is breaking. Ooh, maybe I'll live a life of regret, and maybe I'll give much more than I'll get, but nevertheless I'm in love with you. Somehow I know at a glance the terrible chances I'm taking. Fine at the start, then left with a heart that is breaking. Maybe I'll give much more than I'll get, but nevertheless I'm in love with you. But nevertheless I'm in love with you.
The Mills Brothers and Nevertheless. You know what I've noticed, folks? At counter service food courts, where you have a lot of these food chains where you kind of stand in line with your, and you order food. It can be anything from a Tim Hortons to a McDonald's to a Burger King to, there are lots of specialty ones now, especially here in Toronto. And Starbucks, there are tip jars. Now, I don't understand tip jars when you're actually not being waited on. These are kitchens. They're not really, hello, how are you? My name is Bill. I'm your server tonight. And all that kind of stuff, which I believe they live off tips. But the tip jars in those locations are pushing it a bit. I mean, you have no interaction with those people, really, other than you want the hot peppers and you want the mustard and you want the cucumbers and you want the grilled onions on your burger. But so the tip jar is, in my opinion, pushing it a little bit. Now, if they want to come and they want to make sure that I find a table in the food court and take my tray, that's a different matter. All right, here's Dion, the Belmonts, and number 5 from April of 1959, Teenager in Love.
Each time we have a quarrel, it almost breaks my heart. 'Cause I'm so afraid that we will have to part. Each night I ask the stars up above, why must I be a teenager in love? One day I feel so happy, the next day I feel so sad. I guess I learned to take the good with the bad. 'Cause each night I ask the stars up above, why must I be a teenager in love? I cried a tear for nobody but you. I'll be a lonely one if you should say we're through. Well, if you want to make me cry, that won't be so hard to do. If you should say goodbye, I'll still go on loving you. Each night I ask the stars up above, why must I be a teenager in love? I cried a tear for nobody but you. I'll be a lonely one if you should say we're through. Well, if you want to make me cry, that won't be so hard to do. And if you should say goodbye, I'll still go on loving you. Each night I ask the stars up above, why must I be a teenager in love? Why must I be a teenager in love? Why must I be a teenager in love?
Dion, the Belmonts, and Why Must I Be a Teenager in Love? Well, folks, we come to the end of another program, so that means last dance, slow dance. So kick back the rug, adjust the dimmer switch, assume the vertical position, because we've got the Flamingos and number 11 from June of 59, I Only Have Eyes for You.
My love must be a kind of blind love. I can't see anyone but you. Are the stars out tonight? I don't know if it's cloudy or bright. I only have eyes for you, dear. The moon may be but I can't see a thing in the sky. I only have eyes for you. Here, and so am I.
Jibop, jibop.
Maybe millions of people
jibop, jibop.
Go by, but they all
The Flamingos, and I Only Have Eyes for You. Well, that does it for this edition of the Danny Finkelman Show. Till next time, that's it, everybody.